Thanks be to God. So what does it mean to be a disciple exactly? If you noticed that some of today's scriptures might have sounded a little similar to last week's, because here we have Jesus once again telling his disciples in a secluded teaching space about what is going to happen to him. Remember last week the question that Jesus asked was, "Who do you say that I am?" And then he kind of goes on to tell them what it means to be a disciple, what they need to do about it, that they need to take up their cross and follow, that we need to take up our cross and follow. Well, we don't quite always get there or understand exactly what that means to be a disciple. So when he is again teaching them, because they've got to get it, they've got to understand what it means for Jesus to be a disciple. He's telling them this after doing this teaching after the Transfiguration. So there in the midst of those 12 are three of them. Three of them who have seen him completely in all his glory, who know who he is. But again, the teaching isn't about his glory. The teaching is about the cross. So he explains to them one more time what this means, that he must suffer and die and be resurrected again. Now, this is a very difficult teaching for the disciples, and they don't seem to question him about it. You can tell that they're struggling. You know, last week, Peter was bold enough to rebuke him, and Jesus rebuked him back, but this week, there's silence around this teaching. They seem to be avoiding the difficulty of what Jesus' understanding of Messiah, of Son of Man, is. And isn't that kind of human nature? That we want to avoid those difficult things? That if we don't look at it, or if we don't talk about it, or if we don't think about it, maybe, just maybe it will go away, or maybe it was a bad dream, and we can move on into that which we want it to be. And so we keep building the image of what we want it to be in hopes that everybody moves into our space rather than us moving into God's space. I know what kind of a disciple I want to be, but God might have something else in mind. So we keep telling God exactly what that looks like, and God keeps saying, no, it looks like this. But this is what's happening here with the disciples. Jesus has to keep teaching them, keep telling them what it means to be the Messiah, who Jesus is, and what they have to do about it. What does it mean exactly? So then we get the disciples' interpretation. Because naturally what they're doing is they're not talking to Jesus, who would have the answers, Jesus who could calm their spirits. They're doing what we do, talking amongst one another and avoiding the conversation. So we hear their interpretation through Jesus' question. What were you arguing about? Because what they decided was being there with the man, that each of them had to have a special place at the table. Now, I always think about my living room when I think about this story, because when I had exchange students, it seemed that the couch, laying down on the couch, was the prime spot in the house. So if one of them got up to go to the bathroom or got up to do something else, someone else grabbed the couch. It was like this continual fight for that one spot. You know, that was a special spot. That was a prime location. You didn't want to sit on the floor. You didn't want to sit in the chair. You didn't want the rocking chair. You wanted to stretch out on the couch. So they didn't offer this nicely to one another. They waited for the one who had it to leave, and they took it. Well, this is sort of what the disciples are doing. They want those prime locations. They've got the man. They've got the man of power who is their man. And they're creating that image. And can you see them setting up that table or setting up that boardroom and putting the place cards where everybody's to sit and who's important? And Jesus says to them, no, that's not what this is about. We're not jockeying for positions. This is about serving. What it means to be a disciple exactly is to serve. And he uses a Greek word that we have adapted and modified and even added importance to in the church. He uses the Greek word diakonesis, or diakonos, which means to serve. We have deacons in the church out of that Greek word. And we kind of elevate, we ordain our deacons now. So we have lifted that word up out of what it meant originally. To be diakonos was someone who served meals. And the person who served meals was considered the lowest of the low servants. And not only did they serve everybody, but what they got to eat was what was left over. They got the leftovers, if there were any, and they had to make sure that everybody had eaten before they could eat. So when Jesus tells them that you must serve, he was speaking of that particular servant. Now, I don't know how many of you eat in restaurants where you have a waitress or a waiter, a wait staff. How many of you know a good wait staff that really makes you feel like you are king and queen sitting there at that table, that your cup is always filled, that they ask you how your meal is, and they don't ask you when you're chewing the food. You know, they ask you when it's the appropriate time to ask you. They make sure the temperature of your food was right. And the bill comes without you waiting for it. And the payment comes without you waiting for it. And your whole experience made you feel like you were somebody special. We know that servant. But we also know the servant who comes and throws or flings the food at us, and we wait for our water to be refilled, and the food comes cold, and we can't find them when we didn't get what we wanted, and we just seem to be treated like we were an inconvenience. So we know how important serving is by how we receive it, not necessarily how we give it. But Jesus is asking us to be the ones who serve at a level so that those who receive feel like they have entered the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on to let the disciples and let you and I know exactly who we are to serve. And again, the illustration might not make as much sense to us today as it did to those who heard the story when Mark first told it. Because he brings in a child. And did you notice the impersonal pronoun, it? He places it in the midst of them. Felt kind of odd, didn't it? But a child in those days, that's what a child was. A property. Had no value. Had no way to contribute to the social class. So it was, and it. So when Jesus brought the child into their midst and to say, welcome one of these, he was saying, welcome the one who has no status, as if they are king or queen. And when you welcome this one without status, when you serve this one without status, you serve me. Not only do you serve me, but you serve the one who sent me. So when we serve that one who has nothing, we serve the Lord. So for us, we might understand it better if we looked at who has no status in our community today. Obviously, children sometimes have more status than we want them to have as they take away our life savings as we care for them. But what about the housebound? The ones who have no ability to get out? What about those who are too ill to care for themselves and need others to care for them? Or those who are immigrating without documentation? Or those who have aged beyond their capacity to care for themselves? Those without homes? Those without food? Those without work? Those with work that cannot sustain them or their families? Our domestic animals here and let loose? What does it mean to disciple exactly? It means to be moving the ones without status to status. But if they can't be, if their situation is such that they can never function as someone with status again, which means someone who could vote, someone who could work, someone who could care for themselves, to offer them safety, to offer them shelter, to offer them love. But that their needs are met with dignity. Where can we serve? Where is God calling you to be that servant? Be that one who takes that child, takes that ill person, takes that homeless person, takes the cat or the dog, takes whoever it is without status, and allows them or it to know that they are a beloved creation of God. And lifts them up to that place of being known, that returning them to community. Because it's in community that we begin to understand God's love for us, because it is through our love for one another. So Jesus here is reminding us that what we need to do and who we need to be as a disciple is the one who welcomes in, who shows hospitality to the ones who believe they have no right to receive it. I don't know which person, which group, where God is calling each and every one of you, but I know that each and every one of you is touching the lives of someone who has not status. I know some of you have cared for your loved one into their heavenly place. I know some of you have cared your loved one into health. I know that some of you have cared for your children and your grandchildren or someone else's children and grandchildren into a successful launching into the world. I know that some of you have cared for the animals around Plank Chapel and Bobbitt, so that maybe that they can survive and maybe thrive or maybe find a home where they are loved. I know some of you have provided food for the hungry in Africa as well as food for the hungry who go to Acts. God's calling us to be disciples exactly as He wishes us to be, disciples who serve. And if we choose to say yes to that discipleship, to take up the cross that we are given by God, to go out into the world and make that statement, we won't always have an easy road. But it is the road that God has placed us upon and is where we are to go, and our reward is in heaven, and the earth will be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.